Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, February 19, 2019. A senior UN official visiting South Sudan says the international community should support South Sudan's peace process.
It's really important that all stakeholders do what they need to do to make sure that this peace agreement succeeds this time around, that it is sustained.
And a new report warns some young South Sudanese girls are likely to be victims of sexual abuse.
We found that more than 70% of girls in Niau are married before they turn 18. Men, boys and girls spoke of how child marriage can have devastating consequences for young girls. We know that 76% of South Sudanese girls are out of school. And child marriage definitely contributes a lot to the fact that they are not in schools.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A senior UN official visiting South Sudan says young South Sudanese should be empowered to bring about gender equality in the country. The UN Assistant Secretary General and UNDP Regional Bureau Chief for Africa outlined the challenges facing the implementation of South Sudan's peace deal. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
UN Assistant Secretary General Ahona Onoche was escorted by Osako Okai, who heads the UNDP's Crisis Bureau. The two UN officials are on a five-day visit aimed at pressing South Sudan's political leaders to recommit to implementing the revitalized peace deal. They are also assessing how the UNDP can support the peace process and to determine how long aid agencies should wait before they implement development projects. At a roundtable discussion yesterday with civil society activists, Onoche said the peace deal provides another opportunity for South Sudan to realize its development potential, which had been suspended during the conflict. Onoche says several UNDP projects ended when the fighting broke out.
It's really important that all stakeholders do what they need to do to make sure that this peace agreement succeeds this time around, that it is sustained, because it is the sustenance of the agreement that will allow UNDP and other partners to actually program for the long term.
Onoche says the UNDP will support the national dialogue, which gives South Sudanese a chance to speak out on issues that affect them. She says without development, South Sudan is likely to slide back into war.
If you have peace and you don't have development, people will again take up arms, because what concerns people is whether they're able to feed their children, whether they're able to nourish themselves, whether they can send their kids to school, whether they have a house with a roof where they can sleep.
The international community has said it will support the peace process if the parties show real political will toward fully implementing the peace deal. But Onoche says it would be a mistake for South Sudan's partners to not get involved at this point.
It is not time to wait and see. There is no room in this conversation that should allow for that sentiment of let's wait and see what happens. Because if you take on that approach, you will be risking basically losing all the gains that have been made in the investments that are currently on the ground.
She also says accountability is very important to give confidence to the people of South Sudan. Some civil society activists say while the implementation process lingers, women continue to suffer from displacement and sexual violence. Mary Lopidea is director of the EVE organization.
While there is an agreement in process that is supposed to be implemented, we still face a huge challenge of protection of women. We have issues, serious issues of sexual and gender-based violence that is going on. Forced displacement at this time is still going on. These are concerns that need to be raised.
A UN Human Rights report released last week accused both government and opposition forces of gang rape in Unity State, where more than 150 girls and women were sexually abused over a two-week period. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
A new report by the British charity Oxfam warns another generation of girls in South Sudan will miss out on education, face health risk during birth, and face sexual and domestic violence if moves to address forced marriages are not tackled now. Onen Walter Solomon has more for VOA from Juba.
Oxfam says it carried out its research in Nyal of former Unity State over a four-year period. The report entitled Born to be Married indicates South Sudan is one of the most difficult places in the world for girls to get an education, with three-quarters of girls out of school due in large part to child and forced marriages. Ranjan Podyal is Oxfam's country director for South Sudan.
We found that more than 70% of girls in Niao are married before they turn 18. Men, boys and girls spoke of how child marriage can have devastating consequences for young girls. We know that 76% of South Sudanese girls are out of school. And child marriage definitely contributes a lot to the fact that they are not in schools. We also found that 84% of married women and girls interviewed had either been a victim of or witnessed sexual violence.
Odial says hunger and poverty caused in part by the four-year conflict are driving families to desperation, with many parents marrying off their young daughters for a dowry. Speaking in Arabic, Juba parent Esther Tim says the economic crisis caused by the civil war has put a terrible strain on families, especially children.
The girl child doesn't want to see her mom suffering. She finds a way she thinks is okay to help her mother. For example, she goes to town and gets money through commercial sex, and then she gives the money to the mom to buy food. In the process, she gets pregnant and her future is ruined. Some parents also agree with somebody to marry their daughters so that they can get money to survive.
A team urges government officials to strengthen existing laws aimed at ending child and forced marriages and to invest in girls' education. 24-year-old Pony, who is from Rukona of former Unity State, says she is a survivor of early forced marriage and got pregnant when she was 16 years old.
I did not know that I'm going to get pregnant. The man actually forced me to have sex with him. From that day, I hate him forever, and I don't want even to see him. The time my parents realized that I'm pregnant, my father actually sent me that, continue with your marriage. The time I gave birth, I tried to ask him that, Dad, I want to go back to school. That, no, you're already spoiled.
Bonnie says her parents forced her to get married, but she defied their wishes because she wanted to continue her education. She says she struggled but was able to complete her secondary education and now works as a hairdresser in Juba. Bonnie supports herself and her 8-year-old child. In her spare time, Bonnie campaigns against child marriages in South Sudan.
When I see a young girl pregnant, I feel that pain. I just remember the way I get pregnant. And by then, I used to advise girls in my area so that they'll not do that same mistake to happen to me, so that we shall end child marriage from our country and in all of Africa.
The Oxfam report says child marriage increases girls' risk of death or complications during pregnancy and childbirth in a country with a high mortality rate. It also says the practice puts girls at greater risk of sexual, physical, and emotional violence. Of the married women and girls interviewed by UNICEF in Nyal, 84% said they had experienced or witnessed sexual violence between husband and wife. Elisa Buchanan, the report's author and Oxfam's policy advisor in South Sudan, says researchers asked the Nyal community how they think child marriage can be eliminated.
Most importantly for them was kind of increased advocacy, and that really meant engaging local authorities and leaders and people with the power to respond to it, and engaging not only women and girls on this issue, but also men and boys, and stepping that up and having really locally driven kind of advocacy initiatives.
Buchanan says community members also talked about the need to improve access to education and increase access to jobs. The report calls on international donors and humanitarian agencies to direct more funding to community-led initiatives that prevent gender-based violence and end child marriage through education and awareness campaigns that challenge long-standing traditions. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
Some women in rural parts of Yeyu River State say they are afraid to go out and collect water for their families because they fear sexual assaults by armed men. The leader of Women's Union in Yeyu River State confirms that women have been sexually assaulted by armed men at various water collection points located outside Yeyu Town. Daniel Friday Martin reports for VOA from Yeyu.
In Yeyu Town, it is relatively easy and safe for women to pump clean drinking water from a borehole like this woman was doing in town one recent morning. But in rural areas of Yeyu River State, women often must travel several kilometers to collect water from either a well, borehole or stream. Women living in rural areas say walking long distances in search of clean water is dangerous. Speaking in Arabic, Ross Ondua, a resident of Bandame village in Yeyu River State, Story County, says rather than risk being raped, women from her village frequently resort to collecting water from nearby muddy wells.
Most of the boreholes are located along the highway, and the women are afraid to access those boreholes for fear of meeting armed men who could end up robbing, beating up, and mistreating rural women.
A resident of Yeyu River State's Mokaya County, who prefers to bed and fight only SKG for security reasons, says most of the water wells in her village are dry, which forces rural women to walk long distances in search of clean water for drinking, washing dishes, and bathing. Speaking in Arabic, KG says armed men often hide near water sources where they either rape or beat women at gunpoint.
When it comes to a dry season like this, all the wells and rivers are dry, and we, the women of Mokaya County, face a lot of challenges when it comes to accessing water. Some of the armed men set up their bases near water sources, and we are always at a high risk of being raped or tortured. And sometimes the armed men kill the men and the boys who escort us to the water sources.
Some of the rural areas in Yeyu River State are either controlled by National Salvation Front rebels or SPLA-IO forces. Many urban and administrative villages are under the control of government forces. Villager Ross Ondoa says it is difficult for rural women like herself to identify which group is mistreating women in the village.
What is happening in the villages is difficult to understand. There are many armed men moving with the guns, military uniforms, and they sometimes rape and do all bad things on civilians, and we cannot tell whether they are rebels or government forces.
Vicky Araba, chairperson of the Yeyu River State Women's Union, says in the past month, her office has recorded at least 10 cases of women who were raped while accessing water in rural areas.
Every year, women are suffering when it comes to dry season, say January, February, March, not only in the urban but in the rural areas. Even yet, where they are waiting for water, cases of women who have been raped, around 9 to 10 who have been raped, not only in one location, but around Yeyu, these things are happening. And some of the women, they sit quietly, they don't tell. But when you meet with them, and some of them, when they come to the hospitals, we chat with them, they tell us all about these things.
Many women are afraid of being stigmatized if they acknowledge they were raped. Regina Dudu, Director General of Rural Development, Water and Yeyu River State, says with the rising inflation, the government doesn't have the money to provide basic services such as installing boreholes in rural areas.
It is true that our people suffer a lot of water, especially women. Even in the town, the water is not enough. The retailers are coming money as the government. I encourage the partners who are helping with this class of water, they should come back to carry on their duties so that people will enjoy better water.
Dudu and other women are calling on government and opposition forces to protect and respect women and children in areas they control. They are also asking aid agencies to provide clean drinking water in rural areas across the state so women don't risk being sexually assaulted while walking long distances in search of clean water. Most villages in Yeh River State collect water from either wells or streams. During the rainy season, women often collect water from rainfall. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yeh.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, what is the biggest threat to your ears? Find out when we come back after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
are you satisfied with the way your community handles people with mental health issues?
I'm not saying I'm disappointed by it. I think government should do more about it, but put them in an institution so they can take care of them.
No, because you just see mental issues people everywhere. Just some will even be pushing you. Some will just stand and you not be able to do anything and all this kind of stuff. So no, I am not satisfied with it.
They ignore those people. Whatever they say, they will just say, those people, they are mad. Even if this, what are telling us, will benefit us, but sometimes we can ignore them. So I'm not satisfied.
We tend to give up on them very fast because you know the effects of somebody having a mental issue, always they cause a lot of trouble and they don't act normally.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. It's Tuesday and today is our health segment day. We are talking about what causes hearing loss. UN agencies warn that more than 1 billion people between the ages of 12 to 35 risk losing their hearing from listening to loud music on their devices. The World Health Organization and the International Telecommunication Union are launching new international standards to make smartphones and other devices safer for listening. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Listening to music is one of life's greatest pleasures. UN health experts say they do not want to deprive younger people of the enjoyable experience of listening to music regularly on their headphones. But they warn listening to loud music is unsafe and can cause permanent damage to hearing. The World Health Organization says it has no clear evidence that 1.1 billion people are at risk of developing hearing problems. However, WHO Technical Officer for the Prevention of Deafness and Hearing Loss, Shelley Chada, says the figure is based on a study conducted 4 years ago. That study, she says, focused on the listening habits of young people and the volume of sound to which they were generally exposed. She says this information has been valuable in working on solutions for preventing hearing loss.
So our effort through this standard is really to empower the user to make the right listening choice and decision, either to practice safe listening or to take the risk of developing hearing loss and tinnitus a few years down the line.
The main recommendations for safe listening include having software on personal audio devices that measures how long and how loudly a user has been listening to music. They also call for automatic volume reduction systems on smartphones and They also call for automatic volume reduction systems on smartphones and other devices, as well as parental volume control. The UN agencies say they hope governments and manufacturers will adopt the suggested standards, as disabling hearing loss is set to increase significantly in the coming years. The WHO and ITU report 466 million people suffer from the disability, most in low- and middle-income countries. It estimates the number will rise to more than 900 million by 2050. The agencies say half of all cases of hearing loss can be prevented through public health measures. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Some members of the former detainees say they have reconciled with President Salva Kiir. Addressing a gathering in Bor over the weekend, two political leaders urged South Sudanese to stop dwelling on the past and focus on the future. David Mayar reports for VOA from Juba.
That's former presidential advisor for gender issues, Rebecca Nyandeng, singing, "For those who worship, a new life has come. We have been given a new life for us to live our previous way of life. The past is wiped out. Let us stop worshiping idols." Nyandeng says she sang that Christian hymn at the beginning of her speech to encourage South Sudanese to forget about the past and move forward as a united people. Speaking in Dinka, Nyandeng urges South Sudanese, especially men, to stop engaging in political gossip for the sake of peace.
For those who might have been wronged in one way or the other, and you think you want to come and complain to me politically, that is wrong. I have stopped listening to political rumors. If you want to come to me, come only to support me on how to move this country forward in peace. You need to put aside the habit of rumor mongering, especially you men. It used to be for women. Leave it.
The widow of SPLM founding father, Dr. John Garang de Mabure, has been widely criticized by members of her community for choosing to oppose the Kiir administration after the conflict erupted in December 2013. Nyandeng, who was nominated by the former detainees to become one of the four vice presidents provided for in the Repealized Peace Agreement, says the time has come for South Sudanese to reconcile and work toward promoting peace. She says for the next 3 years, the government will focus on offering psychosocial counseling to the millions of South Sudanese traumatized by war. At the same meeting, former Deputy Defense Minister Majak Diagot said the former detainees have reconciled with President Salva Kiir and are asking people to look ahead, not behind them.
We, the former detainees, have reconciled with the president, and that is all. There is nothing to doubt about us. What we don't want is the narrative of the things that happened in the past. Everybody has a narrative on how the crisis unfolded in the country, and we have to put all that aside.
Dear God says the former detainees are for peace and have told their foreign supporters to stop pushing them into the past of violence. Both Nyandeng and Dear God received loud applause from the audience, but some participants wondered aloud about South Sudan's future, noting that the same politicians are being recycled. Anid Kuch says he does not think the politicians are coming for peace.
They need to grab money and to run their politics. It is the same regime they are coming in, and it is the same regime they need changing it. So I don't think there is any kind of thing that is leading to the progress of the peace. They just come to enrich themselves and to grab our money, and they go with it, and they go and finance the war with it.
In about another 2 months, the 8-month pre-transitional period will end, after which the peace partners are expected to form a transitional government of national unity. SPLM IO leader Riek Machar is expected to be reinstalled as first vice president, while President Salva Kiir will remain president. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. A top UN official visiting Juba this week says she's looking forward to seeing a peace process that will empower South Sudanese youth and bring about gender equality in the country. General Ahuna Anochi, the UN Assistant Secretary General, describes how the UNDP can help move the peace process forward. She was escorted by Osaka Okai, who heads the UNDP's Crisis Bureau. The two are on a five-day visit to pressure South Sudan's political leaders to fully implement the revitalized peace deal. They're also assessing how long aid agencies should wait before restarting some development projects. Anochi says several UNDP projects ended when the fighting broke out. She says without development, South Sudan is likely to slide back into war, adding, if you have peace but don't have development, people will take up arms again. The international community has said it will support the peace process if the parties show real political will toward implementing the peace deal. A new report by Oxfam warns that another whole generation of girls in South Sudan will not be educated, face complications during childbirth, and will likely face sexual and domestic violence if moves to end forced marriages are not stepped up. The British charity says it carried out its research in Niall, a former unity state, over a four-year period. The report, entitled Born to be Married, finds South Sudan is one of the most difficult places in the world for girls to get an education, with three-quarters of girls out of school due in large part to child and forced marriages. Rajan Pujal, Oxfam's country director for South Sudan, says Oxfam found more than 70% of girls in Niall are married before the age of 18. And finally, some women in rural parts of Yei River State say they are too afraid to venture out and collect water for their families because they're afraid of being sexually assaulted by armed men. The head of the Yei River State Women's Union confirms that women have been sexually assaulted by armed men while fetching water from boreholes or wells located outside of Yei Town. Women living in rural areas say walking long distances in search of clean water is often dangerous. Rose Andua, a resident of Bandemi Village in Yei River State's Tor County, says rather than risk being raped, women from her village often resort to collecting water from nearby muddy wells. A resident of Yei River State's Makaya County, who prefers to be identified only as Keji for security reasons, says most of the water wells in her village are dry, which forces rural women to walk long distances in search of clean water for drinking, washing dishes, and bathing. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Tuesday, and we now leave you with the song Anna Guide by Crazy Fox.
Me can't be a refugee in my own country.
I'm a mashi, I'm a man, I'm a big people, I'm a guy. Salaji no tala, so cool, and I are Fox and a guy. I'm a mashi, I'm a man, I'm a big people, I'm a guy. Salaji no tala, so cool, and I are Fox and a guy. Magali said that dollar because it's the battalion. Anna asked my Gali, mean be an aspija than Lisico.
Anna asked my Gali, Mama said to make the bio Achillea. I just be Gali. Anna Gali suits are good. Like a Kinta Suru.
Almufelis Talaganian, Walkanian Talamufeli. Like in facts about me, what we tell them, Anna Mama, she, Anna Mama, she, Anna Mind, Malana, big people, Anna Guy, Salaju, Nutella, suppose, and now, Fox, Anna Guy, Anna Mama, she, Anna Mind, Malana, big people, Anna Guy, Salaju, Nutella, suppose, and now, Fox, Anna Guy. Me no have no safe place to run. One man first no have no place to go on. Me a fit up and you know what I want. If surely you do fear for life in my land. Me shot a coulda fill up a man like a fan. Someone please come give me a helping hand. If surely this trouble coulda get me by me yard. Big up to all them patches them day. Rastaman salutes all the army them day. Lil J, me be there rest in peace. Ay, 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 ay.
We are have been listening to Crazy Fox with the song Anama Mashi, Anna Guide. I must admit, this is my favorite song. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could be with us. If you'd like to share a comment about something you hear on this program, our email is southsudan@voanews.com. If you are planning to be out of Juba, where there are no VOA FM stations, you can still listen to us on shortwave. Our frequencies are 1150 kilohertz and 13865 kilohertz and 15180 kilohertz. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.